do, as we look at Psalm 85, the sixth verse, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us this morning as we consider this topic of revival, what you would like to accomplish and how you would like to accomplish it in our lives individually and our collective lives together as a church, that you would help us to be willing to be open to you working and doing a mighty work and reviving us so that we might know your hand at work in our lives. And we'll thank and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Revival, by definition, is this: to restore to life or to consciousness. It is to give new strength or energy to. It is to become active or flourishing again. So that's by definition, if you look up the word, that's what God wants to do as we consider this term of revival. Let me just start out right here. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do need revival, but to be brought back to life in Jesus Christ. But really, the concept of revival in the Scripture is to God's people, causing us to come back to a place where we were once walking closer to the Lord, living for Him in a different way. So if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, let me encourage you to consider that concept today, to know that there's a God in heaven who loves you, who desires to spend all eternity with you, and He desires that so much, as we just heard sung, that He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to walk that road to Calvary, to suffer and die for your sins and for mine, and not for our sins only, but for the sins also of the whole world. And He offers to us this wonderful gift of salvation, free of charge. We can't work for it. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saves us. We cannot buy it. We cannot earn it. But we can accept this gift that He offers of salvation. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So I would encourage you to give that consideration this morning. But if you've already trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, I want to talk to the rest of us here this morning, that we would consider what God would want to do in this area of revival. Now, in many aspects, revival is for absolutely every child of God, right? The idea being that at the end of a time of revival, we would be walking closer to God than we are currently. That would be something that we would call revival. Often it's considered that we were once walking close to God, and then we've fallen back some from our walk with God, and revival is a returning again to our walk with God. And so it carries with it both of those. Everyone that knows Christ is really the target for revival as God begins to set out to do this work. So I'm going to ask us to consider the message this morning, but also to ask you to consider praying together, to unite ourselves as a body of believers, asking God to do some unusual things in this week of revival coming up. It's the first full week of June. We will do all the festivities that we normally do. We will serve dinner every night, and we'll feed about 200 people every single night of the revival, except for Sunday night, but Monday through Friday. And we do that for two primary reasons. One is so that those of you who are working jobs aren't trying to figure out how you're going to get home, get showered, feed the kids, and then still be able to get here. But you can actually get all that done because we'll take care of one of those things for you. And then secondly, the reason we do it is so that you can invite people to come with you who would have the same problems of being able to make it. But beyond that, you can use this dinner time before the service is to say, "Hey, not only do I want you to come to revival, but I'll feed you dinner." And it is always wonderfully good food, and the ladies do a great job with that. So looking forward to that. I can't just say ladies. It's ladies and guys do a great job in helping us do that. So we'll have all of that stuff going on. Teenagers will have the after service every night, Monday through Friday. But that part's all going to fall into place. That happens. That's the part that we can control, so to speak. We can forcibly make that happen. But what we cannot forcibly cause to happen is that you and I would be willing to cooperate with the Spirit of God and the Word of God to do a work in our hearts. That's what we can't make happen. That is going to be on an individual basis. It's completely up to you and I to accept the responsibility of preparing our hearts. Now, here's what I know. God's word never returns void, right? Never returns void. And here's what I know. The Bible says that my heart is like the soil, and God's word is like the seed. And if the seed finds good soil, then it brings forth much fruit. That's what I know. Now, the soil is my heart. My heart becomes my responsibility. I need to have my heart prepared, because if my heart comes prepared, then there's no question that the word, the seed, is going to be sown, and there's no question that the seed never returns void. So if my heart is prepared, revival happens. That's the reality. So that's what we're going to look at, is how we can go about making this happen. So when is revival necessary by definition? Well, it says to restore to life or consciousness, or to give new strength or energy to. And so here's what begins to happen. I'm going to ask you some questions. The Apostle Peter says that he got frustrated at the people there as he's writing to Peter. He's saying that they should be growing, that they should be learning about the things of God. And he says, I should be able to give you meat, but I'm still giving you milk, right? I'm still having to give you milk because you haven't grown up enough yet to take meat. Now, I don't know where you are. I really don't. Spiritually, I know you're here, sitting here. And I know a generality of where we are spiritually speaking because I interact with you. But the truth is, I can't look inside your heart. But you know, deep down, sitting right here already, you know whether you're meat or milk. You know it. You absolutely know that whether or not you can actually chew on the difficult things of Scripture, or if you're still just kind of lapping up the simple, easy things to grasp and understand, and you're letting the difficult things go because it's just a lot of work. You know, it's a lot easier to swallow milk than it is to swallow meat, right? I have no clue, by the way, if I'm guessing, looking backwards on this, that I used to hate steak as a kid growing up. I hated it. If somebody gave me steak, I felt like that steak would just grow in my mouth. And the more I chewed, the bigger it got. Now, here's the part I'm guessing on. I'm guessing that it was likely that my family couldn't afford quality meat, you know? So my idea of steak was probably something that I would still be chewing on today. You get the idea? That's my guess. I don't know. But I do know this, that as I grew up, all of a sudden, one day, I ate a steak, and I thought to myself, wow, that was good. Now, give me a choice for steak today, and it's pretty much 100%. I'll take the steak. I really like steak. It's delicious, but it was a taste that I had to acquire. It wasn't always true. And so where are we at today? Are we ready to move on past the easy things of our Christian faith and start chewing on some things that are more difficult? You know, it's not always easy to understand this God of ours, right? Since he is infinitely above us, we reach a point often where the Bible says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And sometimes we reach those levels and we kind of get discouraged and we walk away rather than saying, you know what, I need to chew on this for a while. Are you a meat or milk Christian? Maybe it is that you would look at the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Remember Galatians chapter 5. So you can read through that passage of Scripture. And if I were to ask your family or your coworkers, does this person's life show forth these things? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Does this person, if we were to ask somebody who knows you better than perhaps I do, what would they say? And even they would be limited with what they could say, right? Because quite honestly, we come to church, we're used to this. We come to church, we put on our church clothes. I mean, let's be honest. My family knows things about me that I hope you never find out, right? You understand? I mean, I'm just like you. I'm not any different. That's the way we all are, because we put on our work clothes and we go and we show the people at work the person that we want them to see. We go to school and we show the person we want them to see. But what we ought to be showing them is what the Spirit of God is doing in our hearts. At some point, wherever we are, work, school, church, home, we ought to be exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. If it is that the fruits of the Spirit are finding it difficult to come out in your life, then you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I'm one of these ones that's in need of revival in this area. I need to let God grow me up in this area in such a way that I am able to exemplify his fruit. Or how about adding to your faith? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, giving all diligence, I'm hearing a ring every now and again just so somebody knows. Giving all diligence, add to your faith, anybody remember? Virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to be actively adding to our faith. If someone were to ask you, what's the last thing that you can remember adding to your faith? And when was it? Then it might be that what we need is revival. We need either to be brought back to a place that we've slipped away from, or we need to be re-energized from where we are to continue on in our Christian walk. Remember what revival does? By definition, it restores to life, or it gives new strength and energy. So which is it that we need? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says another thing about growing up in Christ. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. And that means I felt like, or I reacted like a child, or I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Growing up is our option, spiritually speaking. It's a choice that we make. Physically speaking, it just happens. And if we're not careful, we become lazy in our spiritual growth, thinking, well, it's just going to happen. That time equals growth. That's not always true. Not in the spiritual life. In the spiritual life, there's a conscious choice. When I became a man, I put away childish things. There's an actual choice to add to my faith. There's a choice to move away from milk and move toward meat. There's a choice to put on the fruits of the Spirit and allow God's Spirit to begin to work. So the question is, are we in need of revival? Where are you at this morning? We have a time of revival coming up, a time that we've set aside asking God to do a work. We don't have to wait until then, right? We can begin the process right now, cooperate with the Spirit of God in doing these things, but I'm asking us to identify where we are. Are we in need of revival? Listen to what the Bible says about Samson. You remember Samson, right? Samson was known for a couple of things. One, he was really strong. I mean, he was massively strong, not necessarily massively big, because his strength didn't come from his physical nature. It came from God. And then the other one was about the story about Samson and Delilah, how he was tricked by Delilah and ends up losing his strength. And then he gets his strength back later on. But before he had lost his strength, Samson was in need of revival. In Judges chapter 15, he takes the jawbone of a donkey and he slays several hundred men with the jawbone of a donkey. And when he is done, he's exhausted. He is absolutely exhausted. And listen to what he says. He says, but God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again and he revived. Wherefore, he called the name of that, and I'm going to hack up this name completely, Anhakore, if I'm saying it right, and which is Levi in this day. And here's what Anhakore means. It means the fountain of the one calling. That's what that name means. So the idea is this. When Samson was tired, and he was not just tired, he was exhausted. Have you ever gotten to that place? Now, if you were to go see a doctor with the kind of exhaustion I'm talking about, he would tell you that you're probably suffering from depression. I'm serious now. This is what I'm saying. This is where Samson had reached. He had reached a place of total exhaustion. And he needed something that was going to come from God, not something that was just going to come from any place else. Water was available, but he needed water from God. And God gave him water, and he revived, and he was refreshed, and he was able then to get up and keep going. And sometimes it is in our spiritual walk that we need revival, not because we've slipped away from God, not because we're doing anything wrong. It is because this life is not an easy one to live. Would you agree? That this life is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward, the Bible says. This life is difficult and it's discouraging. And sometimes we're moving, but we feel as if we're moving through molasses trying to get some. Have you ever tried to run through water? You know, water that's like up to your waist and try to run through that water? Yeah, it's difficult. You know, running has not been a problem for me typically. I can't run distances. I don't run distances. But I'm pretty quick for an old man, as some of the teenagers found out the other night racing me back to the bus. But, for an old guy, I can move short bursts, right? But sometimes, I'm to the age now where that short burst is getting shorter. So every year now for the last 3 or 4 years, my family's been running in the, help me. What is it? Drumstick dash, yeah. I always want to call it the turkey trot, but the drumstick dash, all right? So we've been running in the drumstick dash. And I'm just telling you that I start out good. I do. I start out and I'm like, yeah, and I'm running beside my kids for about the first 3 yards. And then I'm watching them, and then I'm watching them. And at some point, I'm running through water. I mean, it's like, ugh, it's everything it takes for me to lift one leg and plop it down in front of the other. I'm not a distance runner, never have been, and now I'm an old person, not a distance runner, and it's just getting harder and harder. Sometimes life's like that, right? And you're just tired. And what you need to get you through is not something that the world has to offer. You need God to refresh your spirit. Maybe you're in need of revival because you're just tired. Life has left you tired. There's another time, Psalm 138, David is speaking. He says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth my hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." In the midst of trouble, God will, sometimes we're just tired. And sometimes, again, it's not sin trouble. It's just that sometimes the burden of life. You know, if you are in a situation where you're caring for a parent and you're trying to maintain a job and you're trying to send kids through college and you're trying to, you keep adding all of that up. Life just keeps adding to and adding to and adding to. And you're getting to the place where you're like, if one more thing happens, I'm done. And when life is full of trouble, we need something from the Lord. Not just anybody can get us through these things. We need God to step in. When we're tired and when life is troublesome, God wants to step in. So you say, "Pastor John, I've seen myself. I'm either not growing like I ought to. It's a milk meat thing, or it's a fruit thing, or it's not adding to my faith, whatever it might happen to be. I'm not growing as I ought. Or Pastor, I'm just tired, and I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm just this close to quitting on God and just going and doing my own thing." Or maybe it is that the cares of this life, the troubles that this life has, are just coming up. And remember the illustration of the soil and the seed? The Bible says that the cares of this life are like the weeds that are coming up and choking out the seed and not letting it bring fruit. And that's what we don't want to happen. What do we do? How do we then let God impact our lives? Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 57. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Here is the key to getting God's help when revival is needed. And that is to come as a broken, humble spirit and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I've been trying to live my Christian life on my own. I've been trying to fight my battles in my own strength. I've been trying to get through my troubles my own way. And it's leaving me tired and discouraged and exhausted and ready to quit. And what I need to do instead is to humble myself and come before the only one who has an answer, the God of heaven, the high and lofty one, the one that inhabits eternity, is the one who has the answer for the needs of my soul. God, that's where I'm at. Would you please help me? And God promises, when we humble ourselves, revival comes in. The energy, the sustenance, the life and vibrancy we need to go forth comes as we humble ourselves to him. And then Hosea says it this way, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. They that dwell under his shadow. James puts it this way, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. To dwell close to God is what brings the energy I need to get through. To dwell close to God is what brings the life and vibrancy I need to survive this life. To dwell close to God will add the fruit of the Spirit to my life. To dwell close to God will add to my faith. To dwell close to God will allow me to taste the meat and not just the milk. Because to dwell close to God brings revival. David said this, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Would we join together, Southeast Baptist, would we join together and focus on one thing? God, draw us to you. Give me the energy that I'm lacking. Give me the vibrancy that I need. Add to my faith. Give me the meat. Let's allow God to begin even now a preparing of our hearts for revival services coming up that first week of June. One thing that is our Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed.